141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of a big Nations League clash for Scotland. Stevie Clark's side are in Croatia with a depleted squad looking to end a tough run of results. Craig Gordon's expected to make a spectacular return to the starting 11, but who else? Any debuts? Any first starts? And on the club front, Per Matthias Hogmo looked set to be the next Hearts manager, but now he doesn't. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
I'm beginning to think, you know, that depleted will turn out to be delighted. Things are so bad for Steve Clark. This has to be the occasion when it all comes good for us.
Your mind works in the most mysterious ways.
Yes.
You're the most cynical, negative person on this earth, and you think we're going to get a result this weekend.
A draw.
Brilliant, honestly. You never know what to expect with this guy.
But I've been disappointed because Mr. Hogmo, who was supposed to be going to Tynecastle, was 64, and I thought, that'll shut up Scott Allen. A 64-year-old in at the Hearts, and he'll go gently with me tonight.
I was going to say, I'm getting a lot of good feedback about the Keevans-Allen duo.
Really?
On a Friday night. That's why we've been keeping you together. You know that way every team relies on those partnerships, you know, through the spine of the team, all that sort of stuff. A lot of people have been saying to me, with a slight surprised tone in their voice, saying, do you know what? I think Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans working well together.
Good balance.
You feeling it?
Grandfather,
you feeling
that, and grandson.
Like the relationship's developing. You feeling that?
Yeah, I think we're really coming into our own.
And the Stookie's off. Give the camera a wave.
The Stookie's off. They can see me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we're off.
Back to
done
fitness.
A bit of training last
anytime
night.
Anytime soon?
Yeah, still a wee bit away from, obviously, a match day, but I got through training last night, taped up and had the protective cast on, but still a wee bit of time away, I think, but
Kelty, who are winning every week, top of the league without you. Are you going to get back in?
Listen, that's how it is in football. If the boys are doing well, then you just need to keep working hard and find your way into the team. That's
this is
the
not
PC
the, this
answer
is not the
there.
Place for that media-trained nonsense.
No.
He's got a voodoo doll of the current central midfield duo in there to try and get rid of them. But anyway, 01419511025. That is the number you need. So let's hear from you. Scotland tomorrow. What are you thinking? Do you share Hugh Keevan's optimism?
Depleted to delighted.
That might actually be a question I've genuinely never asked on this show in 8 long years. Do you share Hugh Keevan's optimism? Give us your thoughts. Can Scotland do something against all the odds? Because it's a good opponent, one you wouldn't necessarily be expected to beat, and depleted squad. So what do you think? Can that sometimes work in a roundabout way? Give us your thoughts. And then let's do that pre-game thing, the Friday night, the night before the game, of who should play. Is it as straightforward as Craig Gordon plays in goals, or you've got a master plan to chuck in a Robbie McCrory or something? You would imagine Craig Gordon, but if you agree or disagree, do let us know. And then pick your team. What's the best out of that group that's left there? Of course, you've got kind of obvious ones, maybe like Billy Gilmore and Scott McTominay still there. No John McGinn this time. What does that mean? Does that mean that a kind of old favourite like Kenny McLean comes in, or is this a chance then to try something new, shuffle something about, change the shape? Ben Doak plays, I take it Shea Adams leads the line, or is it someone else, Kevin Nisbet? You give us your suggestions. 01419511025. On the club front, I'd love to hear from you Hearts fans, because there was a time today, as in about an hour ago, we thought that Per Matthias Hogmo was going to be the new manager of Hearts, an experienced Norwegian manager, but reports coming out just before we came on air that he will not, following talks with the club. So any Hearts fans, are you starting to get to that slightly worried stage? Everyone circled this international break and thought that an appointment would be made probably by now. Is it running on a bit too long, or are you feeling pretty calm about it? Let us know. For you Celtic and Rangers fans, it's just a bit more of a blank slate for you. It's been a quiet couple of days, so what are you thinking? Maybe you're still reflecting on your start to the season. Maybe you're already looking ahead to the return. Sometimes international football and club football collides. I noticed Liam Scales scored his first goal for Ireland last night, didn't he?
Got the equaliser against Finland, and then Ireland went on to win 2-1. With regard to Mr. Per Matthias Hogmo, it's a bit embarrassing, not for Hearts, because, you know, he's obviously the result of the analytical exercise, the database, etc., etc., and then they don't close out the deal. That's slightly embarrassing for me. And also, it adds time on to the search for the manager. and the next guy knows he wasn't first choice, even on the database or whatever. And we've got St Mirren a week tomorrow at Tynecastle. Bit of a mess developing.
Well, listen, Hugh's got a hard enough time speaking on behalf of fans in this city. So you Hearts fans, let us know what you think. Is that fair? Is it starting to get a bit of a worry for you? Or is it dragging on too much? Or are you feeling pretty relaxed? Do let us know. 01419511025. Let's kick off with Kenzie, who is in Irvine. How are you, Kenzie?
I'm good. How is yourself?
Can't complain. All good in here. What are you thinking tonight then? What made you call?
I'm thinking about Steve Clarke, how if we keep him as manager, we're going to stay the same, keep losing games, and we're not going to get any further in European competition. So I think it's time for him to leave the big office in Hampden right now.
Steve Clarke must go, and we've not even played a game this weekend, Hugh Keevans.
Well, let's look at it in a critically analytical way. 14 games, one win. That was a dog's dinner of a performance against Gibraltar.
It wasn't great.
Now we've got Croatia away and Portugal at Hampden. If we are to end up with one win in 16, then I think it is perfectly legitimate to examine the manager's performance. And you always get people who say he took us to two Euro finals. Never forget that. And I don't. But again, being critical, analytical, the two Euro finals, the performances from Scotland were very poor.
I always think the timing of these arguments, though, Scott's interesting, because kind of joking about it there, it's the eve of a game. So usually in the back of a result, you'll get the manager X must go. But he's not going anywhere tonight. No. There's a game to play. And it feels like, say after the Euros, as an example, if the people at the Scottish FA got round the table, assessed everything, felt like it was the end of a cycle, decided it was time to move on, you might not agree with it, but you could sort of understand that. Steve Clarke stayed in the job. So what do you then do? You say, yes, you're the man to take us forward. But by the way, if you can't beat Portugal and Croatia with a depleted squad, then you're out. I don't really see how that would work.
No, that's the predicament that the SFA has obviously left Steve Clarke and obviously this group of players in. The fact is, we're playing nations who are better than us. They have better players, they have better squads. If they have the call-offs that we do, they can bring in guys who are of a higher quality. So if they were going to do it, would have been after the tournament, no question for me. I think that would probably be in the right time. Now, you got to back him at this point. He's, like I said, he's not got much to pick from, and you're coming up against Croatia, Portugal. Teams who have been at the tail end of tournaments, we're not. We've just recently, in due to Steve Clarke, got to two tournaments consistently. So for me, we're in this situation because it wasn't done at the end of the tournament.
But we're depleted now. We weren't depleted when Croatia beat us at Hampden in the Euros. We're depleted now, but we weren't depleted when Germany took five off us.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. But those games all came prior to what clearly is the decision to keep Steve Clarke in the job. Do you know what I mean? So once you've done that,
what are the games that you judge Steve Clarke on? Are they at home to Croatia?
Everyone. I'm sorry.
But that's the thing. You're right, but I don't feel, just directly on that, once you've done that, you've said, okay, you're the man, but then you become not the man if you can't beat Croatia and Portugal with a depleted squad.
It's not just Croatia and Portugal. It is the sum total of what's going on. If we were to fail to beat Croatia and Portugal, it would be one win in 16, and I repeat, against Gibraltar. I think you were at some point entitled to say, hold on, let's have a look at this.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with that. But was that time this summer? And then once you've...
I thought you should have gone after the Euros.
And that's fine. I'm not disagreeing with that. The point I'm trying to make, maybe I'm not making it clear enough, is the decision was clearly made then to not do that.
Yep.
Does your position go from safe, job safe, to out of job because you can't beat Croatia, Portugal with a depleted squad? That's the bit I'm trying to understand.
My interpretation of events after the Euros was that Steve Clarke went away. There was no analysis of what went on, no public analysis. The SFA made no comment whatsoever. I think we have a president of the SFA and a chief executive of the SFA who, for me, are in awe of Steve Clarke and do not question him.
Kenzie, is it not just the reality that it looks like Steve Clarke's going to get a go at the World Cup qualifiers when they come around. And again, whether you like it or Hugh likes it or not, that's what's happening, and people need to sort of make their peace with it.
I don't know, like no harm to Steve Clarke. Like, he's a good, when he managed Kelly, he was an absolute brilliant manager. But I just don't think he's cut out to manage an international squad, because whether fans like it or not, we're going to keep losing. After, I think he's done good up to the qualifiers to the Euros, but after we beat Spain at Hampden, we've just went downhill. We're just like Rangers in a going downhill.
Well, there's no doubt that the results aren't, Scott. You know, maybe I'm just not making it clear enough, the distinction. I just mean in terms of what's kind of likely to happen, where you're at.
He'll be in charge
for the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, I think they obviously take into account the level of opposition that you're playing in this Nations League. Like I said, they have better squads. If they had six call-offs, they could bring in players of a much higher quality than what we have. We're still searching for a number one striker, which we don't have. There's not a lot of them in the country, and someone that could maybe fire us and turn the kind of draws that we've had in amongst that bad run into wins. The performance against Poland, there was a lot of positives within that, but ultimately it wasn't enough. So I do feel as if the opposition were playing our streets ahead of us, and it's what realistically we can get when it comes to the World Cup qualifiers.
Is that with this Nations League, Hugh? We've made it work really well for us in the past. It came along, this new strange thing, no one knew what it was, and it helped get to the first Euros. It then actually gave us a playoff for the last one that we didn't even need in the end, because we took the traditional route. Does it feel like there's a bit of treading water until we get to the World Cup qualifiers? And then I think you're right. I think see if that campaign doesn't start well.
Yeah,
I think then you would see a more serious conversation. But it feels like at the moment, yeah, it does feel like everyone's just kind of trying to get to those qualifiers.
Yeah, but we're limping along. If they are in awe of Steve Clarke, and that's why Germany was not treated as a watershed moment, fair enough, on we go into the next tournament. But there would have to be, for me, an immediate sign of something going on. The Nations League at the moment is just a pest. It's getting in the way of a good league start.
And the depressing thing is the pot seeding scenario for the next World Cup qualifiers is not looking too favourable for Scotland either, so it could be a pretty difficult run. But you're not feeling any optimism for the weekend, Kenzie? You think it's going to be more defeats?
Aye, I think. See, to be honest, I'm a through and through Scotland fan, but I hope Croatia pumps us 8-0 so it can so the SFA can look at it and go, that's you, Steve, go back to international club.
What a quote that is.
He's worse than me.
I've never bought that logic, whether it be club, country, whatever. He hopes Croatia win 8-0 so that Steve Clarke's no longer the manager. That might just sum this place up.
I think even if nothing's going to change, whether it was 8-0 or not.
Let's not worry about whether it's 8, right? Can we not? Let's deal with that if it comes. Surely not. Surely we can.
I've told you, I think it could be a draw.
Well, it probably means it will be 8 then, given your record for predicting games. Brilliant. What a start that was. Thank you to Kenzie from Irvine on 01419511025. Any more sunshine and optimism out there for us? You can get your calls in, please. Maybe a bit more specific about what the team should and could look like. I mean, in an ideal world, it would have Kieran Tierney in it, and Aaron Hickey, and John McGinn, and Lewis Ferguson maybe to come on, and Nathan Patterson if Aaron Hickey's tired.
There is no doubt that depleted almost isn't a heavy enough word to describe what's happened to him for these two games. But
I think especially because of like, to state the obvious, of international football, you can only pick what you've got, and there will be drop-offs in certain areas. I don't know if this is like a clumsy comparison, but if you're talking John McGinn and you're talking Aaron Hickey, Kieran Tierney, I mean, if Celtic went into a big Champions League game and Callum McGregor wasn't fit, Alistair Johnson wasn't fit, the first choice left back.
Well, look what happened when Carter Vickers wasn't fit.
I feel like we all would cut them a lot of slack. Well, and similarly, if it was Rangers in Europe or whatever, but just as an example,
Celtic Falkirk Premier Sports Cup. Brendan Rodgers put the peripherals in, and the peripherals were losing 2-1. And Brendan Rodgers knew he was getting out the cup, so he looked at the bench and he brought on those who are automatic first choices.
And by the way,
it changed.
Clubs can recruit to try and get that depth, but the national sides can't. Maybe we're comparing Apples and oranges. Daryl says, should we take a look across the border and see what mess England are in and be grateful we're not playing that bad? It never really quite works like that. No. But you'd be lying if you said you didn't have a wee smile last night. Come on.
Well, I mean, Greece, who had never beaten England before, scored five times, have three of them disallowed. England were awful. So it should give us heart.
I mean, that's down in
darkest before the dawn.
That's down in League B anyway. We're more of a Nations League A side.
Doesn't help our cause that Greece can go and get the wins against the big nations, because everybody starts asking the same.
ASAP Ravi is on Twitter actually to say that he thinks you look a bit like the Greece manager. Did you see him last night?
No.
Yeah, he had the white hair, a bit longer than yours. No specs, right enough. But I don't know who's more offended by that lookalike, ASAP Ravi, I have to say. But get your calls in right now. We'll speak to you next.
Win £300,000.
Here was me. How could I forget? We've just paid out over £500,000 in the last couple of weeks, and now we're really going for it, Hugh. You asked me this before we came on air. Genuinely, you said, what's next? How do we take this competition on? Well, if you enter now, you could win our biggest ever prize, £300,000. Incredible. Text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2. Or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Radio Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm next Friday. No phrase, no amount to remember. Don't need to pick up within 5 rings. Just answer your phone and it could be worth £300,000. A guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot. Text yes to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. Looking ahead to the Scotland game tomorrow. Real air of positivity and optimism on the show so far. The first caller says he hopes it's 8-0 to Croatia, so that there's a change in management. So there we go. We've set the bar quite low there on the optimism stakes, so things can only get better. Even Hugh Keevans thinks we might somehow get something. If you've got any thoughts on the team, who should play, and if you think things can be freshened up at all in amongst all these injuries, do let us know. 0141 951 1025. Give us your thoughts right now, please. Do you know what's a big result coming out here? I have to say, I've been keeping an eye on Twitter on this afternoon. I have to give him a mention, because we give him a hard enough time. So, and this is what we love about our colleague Mark Wilson. He's very self-deprecating. He doesn't mind. He's good at that. He's good at having a laugh at his own expense. And he told us that today was the big cup game, the Scottish Youth Cup. Little Partick Thistle going to take on the might of Rangers in the Scottish Youth Cup. And Mark Wilson's, the Maryhill Mourinho, the Partick Pep, has come out on top in a 5-3 victory. They were 3-2 up in the 90th minute and conceded 3 each. And I thought, he's blown it. Can't wait to discuss this. They've gone and scored 2 in injury time and won 5-3. And the best thing about it, it's good to know that we've spread the word. If you go on Rangers Academy Twitter, they've tweeted full time, Partick Thistle 5, Rangers 3. And someone has replied under it. Craig says, Mark Wilson will be crowing about this on Clyde tomorrow. I hope you're proud of yourself. So well done to the Maryhill. Well,
fantastic.
First of all, congratulations to him. But I'm a simple minded man. I always assume that a club of Rangers size will have better players than a club of Partick Thistle size.
I think you should assume that. And well done to Mark, but that will not be something to be proud of down Auchinhowie way, Scott Allen.
No, I think especially Youth Cup's a big one, especially when you're a kid. I remember playing in that, and it was the biggest game of your season. And Rangers do prioritise that at a younger age group, so they'll be really disappointed with that. They put a lot into their academy, but kudos to Mark Wilson. It actually says a lot about what he's instilled in his team, that they concede in the 90th minute to go for each and then show a bit of resilience and get 2 goals after.
Listen, if you had to spend every Thursday night in here with Gordon Dale, you too would build up resilience and mental fortitude. It takes a lot to get through those 2 hours.
Partick Thistle would happily settle for 5 goals tomorrow against Falkirk. They can't buy a goal at the moment, and they're the Maryhill Mourinho delivering them in the handfuls.
Exactly. If you have any thoughts on the championship tomorrow, by the way, don't worry, you thought I was going to say any thoughts on the Youth Cup. We're praising Mark Wilson, but we don't need to go that far unless you were there for some reason and you want to get in touch. But thoughts on the championship tomorrow? I know we're talking Scotland and international break. The 21s play Belgium tonight, so again a tough game on paper game. But they do sit above Belgium currently, and a win tonight would see them qualify. So they've got another game around the corner as well. It's Lewis Boudinakis in goal, Max Johnson, formerly of Motherwell, now at Sturm Graz at right back, Josh Doig the captain, so one that could have probably been in the A squad but was left with the 21s for a game of this size. It looks like Dane Murray, Celtic youngster, is he still at Queen's Park?
Good player.
He was. And Lewis Nielsen, who's at St Johnson, the centre backs, the player of the month, one of the most talked about players anywhere at the moment, Lennon Miller, does start. So the last double header, he actually didn't start the first game against Spain. He starts there in midfield with Conor Barron, so pretty familiar look to that team. And Josh Mulligan of Dundee as well, and Lyle Cameron actually of Dundee, and Deary Mubudi and Jeremiah Mullen there as well. So
Lennon Miller, Barron and Lyle Cameron, I like that. Yeah. Pretty good players.
All doing well in the Premiership this season. Some well-known names on the bench as well, like David Watson of Kilmarnock, Ewan Wilson of Motherwell, Leon King, Rangers, Daniel Kelly, formerly of Celtic, Calvin Ramsey, remember him? Such high hopes, but he's had bad injuries and so on. So we'll see how they get on tonight, the young Scots. Hopefully they can do something ahead of tomorrow's big one for Steve Clark's side. 0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. So please do get in touch. Stevie's on the line. How are you, Stevie?
Well, I'm not bad, guys. Not bad. How are you?
Good. All good here. Good, what made you call?
Craig Gordon going back in the Scotland squad after me arguing with Hugh Keevans the last time. Know what I mean? So,
are you for this or against it?
I'm for it, mate. Know I mean, obviously, see, when you watch the Portugal game, so the Bruno Fernandes goal was the exact same goal as the first one for Germany and the fifth one for Germany. So, it's not mean an absolute mistake and howler by the keeper. So, to me, I agree with you. Depleted, delighted, absolutely delighted that other boys are going to get a chance. No, putting Nisbet up front, I mean, obviously, Geesche, Adams, and the rest, I mean, but to me, you just sit and say that these guys have been dragged all over the world, sat on the bench and watched the same guys week in, week out playing, I mean, the first Scotland, and sometimes we done brilliant, sometimes we didn't. So now it's a breath of fresh air that with the injuries and the things like that, that we can actually get a chance. And Scotty Allen obviously might appreciate that. You know that when you're sitting there, it's dead frustrating, mate, when you get picked knowing that you're just going to be sitting on a bench watching.
So does that look to the future not extend to your thoughts on the goalkeeping position then?
Again, mate, let me know. It's turning around and saying that we've got to go with, to me, the experience that Craig Gordon brings. Yeah. I was at the Finland game, not me know, and the guy beside me is like, he's just like, I mean, it's like two goals in me. He's just been told he's not going to the Euros. I mean, it's the biggest kick in the proverbials that you can get. Know what I mean? And as a goalkeeper, he just knocked the stuffing out of him, and you could tell that with the way that he played. But I'm glad that he said, I'll be back, he's there, and If we get a result tomorrow against Croatia, get a result against Portugal, then surely the proof's in the pudding, mate.
There's only one reason why Craig Gordon will play tomorrow, because to pick John McCracken or McCrory in front of him would be ludicrous. As I said earlier on in the week, he's a consummate professional. He thoroughly deserves to be there. He won't let anyone down. I don't believe for a minute that Kevin Nisbet will start the match. Shea Adams missed out on the last squad. He doesn't need a rest. He's doing well for Torino. And so he will start. He's got the mobility, which a Shankland or a Nisbet might not have, to say nothing of the experience, pedigree. So those who come in are coming in under emergency conditions. But that doesn't mean to say that they will be overawed. I just think that whoever Steve Clark picks, we have to understand it was not going to be what we would consider to be the proper Scotland team, but they'll be nonetheless committed.
Yeah, it's going to be quite something, because Craig Gordon will play, won't he, Scott? Won't be.
Yeah, I think any doubt about that. He's included, obviously, at his age, he's the experience that Stevie touches on. You do need that throughout a squad who, some guys will be coming in. You would like to think, for me, I would like to see Ryan Gold start. I thought he acquitted himself well, especially against Poland when he came on, pressed well, give something a little bit different in midfield, bit of creative, nice soft feet where he sets guys up, like McTominay making the third man runs, all that type of thing. So I would like to see Gold in there. I just think in the forward areas, I'd be very surprised if he changes it. Ben Doak, would you play him from the start, or is he more of an impact sub because of his pace? Because we haven't had someone with that type of pace in the Scotland squad since I can remember. So is it like with the disappointment of players missing out, it's an opportunity for players coming
in. Would it not be a breath of fresh air? You know, are we not due a breath of fresh air in terms of Ben Doak?
We are, but I just can't see Steve Clarke doing that. He's not the manager for me that would probably go with that away to Croatia, especially when we haven't been on the end of a lot of good victories recently.
Is that virtue for a manager or a vice? You know, that you won't take a chance at anything.
See, in fairness, just specifically on that one though, is there a slight issue in that we don't play with wingers?
But sometimes that would become an issue for all time then, or for all of Steve Clarke's tenure.
Through time, you can maybe then adapt that and evolve, and then look at your midfield options, and then if you're going to play with one, who does it on the other side? You know, it's not just about saying, "Oh, well, we have this winger in Ben Doak," all of a sudden you rip everything up. It must be difficult when you get a couple of days. Couple of days training to implement some new way of playing.
Well, tomorrow you would expect Croatia to have most of the ball. So when we do turn that over, we would like to think that we had some sort of counter attacking threat, and Ben Doak gives you that because of the pace he has.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm asking genuinely. So where
they won't
then,
change
how,
it? No,
how,
it won't.
What would that look like?
It looks like him coming on if we're chasing a goal, and then he can.
But that's what I mean.
Change
so
the shape. That's how
start,
it's going to look.
To start him, what would the team need to look like?
You'd need to take one of the central players out,
which you could do this time because John McGinn's not fit.
Yeah, and when he does play out there, he's not natural. Like, I don't know, he does play there for Aston Villa, but John McGinn's best spell for Scotland's kind of when he played behind the striker and he was arriving late in the box.
But if you bring him on as an impact sub, then presumably you have to rejig things anyway.
Yeah,
so,
but
that's different in the throes of a game. Yeah, in the throes of a game where you're chasing a goal, you can do that quite easily. But to go out there from the start. Steve Clarke isn't that type of coach where he's going to take that risk. He doesn't take risk. It's not his makeup as a manager.
Won the last 14. Should not be in a risk taking frame of mind.
Well, you'd like to think because we're depleted that this would be a game we'd maybe get away with it more than others. So for me, yes. But like I said, I like Ryan Gold. I think he gives you something different. But if we get into tomorrow and it's between Ryan Gold and say Kenny McLean will start before Ryan Gold.
So Steve, you're pretty confident that, you know, Craig Gordon's the man, he'll be a safe pair of hands in there tomorrow.
It's one of the ones, mate. I mean, obviously being a keeper coach for 30 years, I mean, know that you say it yourself, and I'm glad Scotty did sort of agree with there, because all she does is fight me on it, not me know when he says, not me anything about goalkeeping, but I
don't know where I'm fighting you at all. I keep on saying the consummate professional has to be there.
The last four times I've been on and I've said about Craig Gordon, you've argued with me and said obviously Angus Gunn will play with the normal one. All I'm saying is now that it's sort of like, I do agree with what you said, depleted but delighted, you know what I mean, know that he's going to come in, he may be giving you boys a chance. Ideally, you know what I mean, how he's now spoke to Harvey Barnes to play for Scotland, because from what we hear he can, you know what I mean, know it's beyond me, but I'm just thinking, let me know that, and that's why I made the point to you, these guys have been dragged all over the world to sit and watch.
Who do you mean by that, sorry?
Just other players, you know, like Armstrong and all that, let me know, obviously, sometimes they were there and then they didn't get picked and stuff like that, and I know they've played before anybody wants to correct me, you know what I mean? So, but we're bringing in new guys, you know what I mean? Obviously, like Tommy Conway and stuff like that, and we're giving them 7 minutes here, 8 minutes there. The Scotties just picked up on a point there and saying, well, Gold and Doak, why do we not play with wingers? Because we seem to do really well when we had Anya and Fraser not playing under wingers.
But we didn't. But this is the thing, is that you can. I loved the sort of cult hero status that Kitchy Anya brought when he came to. Uh-huh. But that was a team that didn't qualify. So what we're now pining after. That level of team that didn't get to tournaments, you know, when this one does.
We relied on getting our wid from Andy Robertson, that bombing on. Hickey does give you that down the right side. You don't obviously get the same kind of end product with Tony Ralston. He's more defensive. But it is a good point. Fans love nothing more than someone who can dribble and attack with pace. Ben Doak gives you that. Ryan Gold, another player, gets fans off their seat with that creative side of them. That is what we want to kind of see. We don't want to always be doom and gloom while we're sitting at the edge of our box and set pieces are everything for us, you know.
Is this where, Hugh, on the Craig Gordon topic, this is why you can't broad brush anything, because everybody is apparently wanting to see new shiny things, but then you go, oh, hold on a minute, actually it needs to be,
yeah,
it needs to be the experienced one there. There's no way you're just trying Robbie McCrory or
McCracken.
That's just not happening, is it?
A chance in the world. You've got to rely on Craig Gordon. You know, maybe 41, but goalkeepers are supposed to go to that kind of veteran stage if they can stay healthy. So he has to play. But, you know, Stevie's point about players have been dragged around the world, too bad. Nisbet's not been dragged around the world. Nisbet should be very happy to be there. His career's taken an upturn after being out of the picture at Millwall. So
I would have been happy. I'd been dragged to the Euros and not played the winner.
But what concerns me, Scott, is that the point that you made, that Steve Clarke is not the type of manager to go for a breath of fresh air like Ben Doak and initially. And my point is, why not?
I just think
because nothing.
But it also might not fit what you're. Because in fairness, right, Ben Doak hadn't played any first team football, and he was picked in the Euro squad. He didn't go to the Euros because he was injured. It's not like Steve Clarke isn't noticing or isn't trying to involve him in some way. I know we all want that next step. First of all, you need to get in the squad, then you need to settle for sub appearances, then you might need, you know, then we look to start games. But he would have gone to the Euros as a teenager who wasn't playing club football. So this notion that I think Steve Clarke, like many people, everybody can be more adventurous, but we're acting like do you know what I mean? Does that not fly in the face of what you're saying?
So you're saying we can't just throw everything away that's kind of been the stability for the last 3 years for one winger?
I think that's probably a separate point, but I'm saying if he's this completely against change, anti looking to the future, why, like, he picked Ben Doak in the Euro squad?
Pace.
That's what I mean, though. So it was done, it was picked when he wasn't even playing
because
we
don't have players with that pace.
So he was willing to.
Aye, but because that is pace.
Bring him in the squad. Yeah. So he was willing to take the risk and bring him in the squad.
Yes.
I'll take it tomorrow.
Because
then.
Of the pace.
Let's give Stevie our thanks, wish him well, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter @ClydeSSB if you would like to get in touch. We did say the under-21s were playing tonight, and quite an exciting looking team. Hopefully they can do the job, although it won't be easy against Belgium. And the A squad playing tomorrow. So give us a call, let us know what you're thinking. He's obviously gone to big time for us, Hugh, the Maryhill Mourinho, the Partick Pep. I've messaged him to congratulate him for beating Rangers in the Scottish Youth Cup. No reply.
Nah.
It's out in the lash already. Michael Horn has replied, sent a message to say he was at the game though, and he said Partick were terrific.
Yeah.
Deserved the win. I wonder if he's off to meet his partner in crime. Do you want me to tell you a truly disturbing story?
Oh, no. DL.
It was Motherwell Football Club's golf day today. Uh-huh. And always delighted to go along and join in. And it was at Lanark, which is the Dazzlers' home course as well. So he had local knowledge. He was at home. And he walked off the course. He left early. He walked off before we had even finished our round because he was going to Wonder Bar.
No.
How early was he going there?
I don't know when it opens or whatever, but he was going in some sort of Friday afternoon session in town. That's his favourite destination on a Friday evening. And he had to leave. And I'm talking like half one, I don't know, 2 o'clock.
Really early.
He said another hole and we were backed up a little bit. There was people teeing off in front of us. Nah, I'm away. Gets his wee daft remote control golf trolley that he's got. He's got his wee TV remote that he uses to steer it. Off he went into the distance.
That doesn't end well, Scott.
No, not that.
To get his dancing shoes on.
That doesn't end well. When you start in daylight, then it's early dark.
Shameful. If anyone sees him out and about tonight, do feel free to pass on my regards. Anyway, let's bring in Andy. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, Gordon. Thanks. How's it going, pal?
All good here. All good.
How are you doing?
Going to switch focus back to a bit of domestic football. Is that right, Andy?
Just a reflection on the season so far. You'd ask for it at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a quick question before I do that? It's probably just coincidence, right enough. Last time I was on the show, you had Billy Collum on, and he made a lot of really good points. And I know that you've been shooting some more stuff with him, right? But just an observation now that they're putting out the weekly reports in terms of the referee's performance. Do you think it's a coincidence, or as a potential referees are taking note of it? Because the last two games, you've had a penalty at Ibrox, a red card at Ibrox, a penalty against Celtic, and a retake against Celtic. Now, I'm not saying that the referees weren't doing their job beforehand, but you think there's a possibility that they're maybe doing more at their own performance?
Not really. I mean, for instance, the latest KMI report came out today and said that Rangers should have had a penalty for the shirt pull on Cyril Dessers.
Absolutely, no doubt. It's incredible
that they didn't get. That was in the latest batch of incidents that were revealed today. I mean, the retake against Celtic just sort of speaks for itself. I know we don't see it very often.
Kasper Schmeichel
can't really argue with
both feet off the line and the undeniably the need for a retake.
Yeah, I must be, Andy, genuinely struggling with the correlation a bit. I don't really know what you mean. I would assume naively that they're just trying to get as much right as they can before they started getting spoken about publicly, and now the same. What do you mean? I don't really get what you think's changed.
Sean, just an observation. No, it's just that the Rangers don't generally get people sent off at Ibrox. They don't generally get penalties against them. Celtic don't generally get penalties. There's not a lot of penalties against Celtic either. It just happened within a wee cluster. It was just an observation.
I know, but that's the thing. We do owe it to ourselves, though, don't we, to analyse those incidents. There is no footballing planet in which that Liam Scales handball's not getting given. Yeah. And there is no footballing planet on which that Yanis Hadji red card isn't getting given. So
correct. Absolutely.
I don't know what. Why would we project something on to really obvious decisions, Andy?
I'm just basing it on previous performance in recent seasons, Gordon. Well, there has been, I'm not going to give examples. That was just the Scales handball. There's been examples in the last couple of seasons when maybe they weren't given.
No, not like that. Not like that one, Andy. That you think that one's potentially cannot be given when his hand is like above his head, out, the crosser's far away.
Liam Scales is definitely a penalty. Well, if you want to go back, you want to choose an example. The defender at Ibrox, the Celtic Rangers game, his hands, I can't remember the big centre-half at left.
Conor Gleeson.
So listen, it was just an observation. It's not my main point. So it was really just to talk about the season reflection so far that you'd asked about. For me, there's a lot made out in terms of the transfer window leading up to the 31st of August in terms of who are Celtic going to bring in terms of planning and stuff like that. I think most Celtic fans will be very, very satisfied with the signings we've made so far. I think Bernardo's done better maybe than expected. Engels looks like a player. But the thing for me is, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't know if you guys will agree with me, but...
Well, I like predictions. Go on.
That Luke McKeown will be the next Celtic captain. I'll tell you why I think that. He didn't really fit the player tabling model. He's 26, he came in the same position as the previous two captains. He's previously captain Dundee. Nobody's saying, this is just my opinion, so obviously you guys get shot down a lot, so feel free to shoot me down. I'm going to have a prediction that Scott will be the next. Luke McKeown will be the next Celtic captain.
Oh, it's big. Luke McKeown, the next Celtic
McKeown
captain.
Luke McKeown is a great story for Celtic fans like Andy, because Luke McKeown's from Greenock. He was born a Celtic supporter. It will be his life's ambition to have played for Celtic. And the Celtic fans love that kind of story. But realistically, Luke McKeown's problem right now is that he won't get into the team ahead of those like Paulo Bernardo, like Engels, like Hatate. So you have to get a game first before you can be the captain. And Luke McKeown is a lot of people, high profile, really good people, who'll have to get out of his way if he's to be a regular and the captain of the club. He came on against Ross County on Sunday, and I thought he was immediately better than anybody else on the park at the time, with the exception of Nicholas Kuhn.
What does that process look like, Andy? Because I think everyone has been impressed with the cameos Luke McCowan's made. What does that progress look like? Because you'd need to be the first name on the midfield list, wouldn't you? Callum McGregor's the first name that goes down there. So how does Luke McCowan become that from fifth choice or whatever he is probably at the moment?
He's going to be the captain tomorrow. Hopefully Callum McGregor's going to be there for the next couple of seasons. The players that we seem to have tended to buy at the moment fit that player transfer, the player trading model, younger, an investment to move on. There was obviously an investment made, but at 26, I think he is, the previous captain of Dundee. I think, again, I don't have any evidence in this, and everybody's entitled to opinion. I think potentially being brought in to replace Callum McGregor, but not until two seasons' time. I get Shoe's point, and he's bang on. Obviously, there's guys ahead of him, just now he's beginning the team. I'm not suggesting he's going to be captain tomorrow. I think in two seasons' time, when Callum McGregor steps aside, he'll be the next natural fit for Celtic.
Scott, your thoughts?
I think we're obviously looking a long way down the line, but what I would say is I think his impact that he has made from the bench has been excellent, considering how strong a midfield Celtic have at the moment. I think he's influenced the games, rightly so, as Hugh touched on. Came on, he was great energy, composed on the ball on Sunday, a bit of class with the pass against St Johnston. So he has started really well. It's more a case of being how consistently he can train well under Brendan Rodgers, because I know that's what he looks at. And then when he does get that chance from the start, is he going to keep his shirt? Because ultimately, he needs to be better than Hitate, Engels at some point, Bernardo, and that's really difficult. I think Andy does make a good point, though. Like, the guys, the player trading model that Celtic have, they're looking to move the guys on maybe a year, 2 years from now for a hefty fee, and he might be one of the players with a bit of longevity that when they do move on, he might come in and fill one of their slots and really take the bull by the horns.
I'll say quickly of him that he started better than I thought he would, because to go back to the backstory, when you're the boy from Greener, born a Celtic supporter, lifetime ambition to play for Celtic, all of that's in your head when you finally get to Celtic. But he's thrived on it. Rather than being intimidated by it, he has thrived on it. And every time he comes on the park, he plays very well.
I noticed, speaking of Celtic midfielders, Paulo Bernardo scored for Portugal 21s this afternoon against the Faroe Islands. So, tougher tests would lie ahead, but a nice goal for him. Would he present possibly the best value for money in terms of
Paulo?
Yeah,
I would say so. I think when you get,
they ended up being a bit of a steal, that wasn't it? Yeah. Because you talk about, a lot was made about Ida at 9 and Engels at 11, so it feels like that, even if you think there was a couple of extra million spent on Ida that didn't need to be spent, and that's an if, I'm not saying everybody does, you'd have to say three and a bit for Bernardo's good business, is it not?
Yeah, it's especially knowing the quality that's in the Portugal under 21 team. Benfica's obviously, you look at their academy, they're one of the best in world football for turning over players. So to get him at that price, I think for Celtic, bearing in mind he had showed that he had the qualities, but I still feel there's a lot more to come from Paulo Bernardo. Oh,
yeah. I think he's thinking, they really rate me here. And he's quite right. And he's a real threat, whether he plays from the start or is brought on. So that is the only applicable word, Gordon, a steal.
This is the right place for bold predictions. Hugh Keevans has made a career out of it, and he doesn't even need to get them right. So Andy and Royston, who says Luke McCowan will be the next Celtic captain, you are welcome here, even if it is wrong. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You know that sound, it means it's Beat the Pundit time. Your final chance this week to get the bragging rights and get the signed ball. It's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 01419511025 is the hotline to get through to them. So let us know what you are thinking tonight, whether it is Scotland thoughts ahead of tomorrow, who should play, who should, no one's quite come on and picked their full team yet. Is it too hard? Is it too much of a challenge because of all these injuries? What should the team look like? Give us your thoughts there, please. You are more than welcome to just switch off to that and talk about whatever domestic football talking point is in your brain. and we are here until just before 8 o'clock. We always, at this time of the night though, play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. You're in the top six, Hugh.
Yeah. Place in Europe coming up.
Yeah. And Scott, you've got the chance to jump a couple of places with a win tonight. So let's see how we go on. Craig is in Dumbarton. How are you, Craig?
I'm not bad, thanks, boys. How are you?
All good here. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good, first time, good. Do all right usually when you play along at home?
It depends. Sometimes good, sometimes not.
Yeah, I'm looking at these questions, by the way. Quite tricky.
Oh, dear.
Sorry to tell you all. Don't hang up, though, Craig. We need you on. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. And tails, it will be Scott Allen. And it is heads, it's Hugh against Craig from Dumbarton. Is that a good laugh or a bad laugh, Craig?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Let's find out. Okay, what we do is give Hugh something else to listen to, obviously, so he can't hear your answers. And it means, Craig, the stage is set for you to go about your business. 30 seconds, just answer as many as you can. And if you'd rather pass, you don't need to guess an answer. You can pass and move on to the next one if that suits you, okay?
No worries, cheers.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock then, and your time starts now. What was the score the last time Scotland played Croatia?
2-0 Croatia.
Who scored for Scotland that day?
Oh, stop. Pass.
In what country does Ian Cathro currently manage?
Ireland.
What was the Greece-England score last night? England-Greece score?
2-1 Greece.
Who do Scotland under-21s play tonight?
Belgium.
What nationality is Hearts' rumoured managerial candidate Per Mathias Hogmo?
Norwegian.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
Yep, bit of Jimmy Somerville there.
Does that suit you for a Friday night? I get you in the weekend spirit.
Nothing wrong with Jimmy, no.
Not sure I'm familiar with Jimmy Somerville's work. Is that
Scottish guy?
Is that who that was though?
Yeah.
Do you remember the dance film? Tell me why. Tell me.
I was going to sing it. I'll look it up at the next break. Feel free to give us a. Last night's Beat the Pundit, I have to say, was a low point because Gordon Dale's mic was still on and he was singing during Mark Wilson's answers.
I've been trying to get Wunderbar on the Nokia, but I've got to find out what's happening.
Scotty will take you down after the show, show you the sights, meet the people. How did you get your comp ticket for Hill
yet.
Tomorrow?
No, not yet.
You going to go? Still planning on it tomorrow?
I'm waiting to see what the weather's like.
Any Thistle fans want to get in touch? Big game tomorrow. But let's play a big game of our own first. Hugh Keevans, 30 seconds and your time starts now. What was the score the last time Scotland met Croatia?
3-1.
Who scored for Scotland that day?
Callum McGregor.
In what country does Ian Cathro currently manage?
Oh, pass.
What was the England-Greece score last night?
2-1 Greece.
Who do Scotland under-21s play this evening?
Belgium.
What nationality is Hearts' rumoured managerial candidate Per Mathias Hogmo?
Finnish.
True or false, the Proclaimers are actually Hearts supporters?
False.
How many players must be locally trained in a Champions League squad? These are tough.
5.
My goodness, very tough. How do you think it went, Craig?
Can't
really
say I've won that one.
Oh, no, it's never good. You didn't hear Craig's answers, I take it?
No.
So the first two questions are obviously linked, okay? What was the score the last time Scotland met Croatia? Craig said 2-0 Croatia, to which I then say, who scored for Scotland that day? Problematic. And Hugh got them both 3-1 Euro 2020.
Was that game?
And Callum McGregor. Have you ever seen the video footage that we took that day? So we did live shows throughout that Euros from Drygate, the brewery. Yeah, yeah. So we had a kind of audience.
I was at that game. I just remembered I was at that game.
You're joking. Seriously?
Through COVID.
Yeah, that's COVID. Right. That's right.
Craig,
no way.
Come on. I know it wasn't a brilliant day, but I thought you'd have at least remembered it.
No.
So we're at Drygate, Scott. We've got the audience there. And obviously, there's not a great deal to cheer at that Euros. But if you remember, you know, we've lost the first game, but drew at Wembley. And that was an equaliser for Callum McGregor, was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was quite a big deal. So the goal goes in, the dry gate erupts. Me, Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson,
Colin Hendry,
I think.
Yeah. Braveheart.
So there's a camera on us, and we've all erupted. And Hugh Keevans honestly doesn't even blink; just sits there with his arms folded.
As if like not even a change in facial expression. Like he's just seen it all before. But anyway, we were all pretty down about it after the game. So 2-0 to Hugh Keevans. Ian Cathro,
Portugal.
It is Portugal. Currently in the top flight in Portugal, but fourth bottom at the moment. Estoril, if I've pronounced that
under
properly.
Under 15 coach Ian Cathro.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I know it became this thing, and he was young, and he was. It almost then became ridiculed, and you know, stats and laptops, and you know, all this stuff. But what he was generally meant to be ahead of his time, wasn't he? Was he not?
Yeah, well, he had a huge hand in developing John Souter, Ryan Gold, they type of players. It was they were the ones he had from the start. I was obviously later on, but
and he would have been extremely young at that point then.
Yeah, 21, I would say at the time. Very highly rated, obviously, off Craig Levein, and he pushed him up.
Sometimes Scottish football is just not the place, Hugh. And I'm not saying he is a good manager, would be a good manager. Sometimes you need more than a coaching ability. You need management. It's different. But there's clearly a coaching brain there. Look at Nuno Espirito, who takes him around everywhere. And this is an unforgiving environment. And I think once it goes wrong here, people whack you for it.
Portugal will be an unforgiving environment if he doesn't get away from fourth bottom place. You know, I'm afraid no matter how good you are, if the results are poor, you're out.
Anyway, you can take that to your weekend fact finding. Every day's a school day, all that sort of stuff. Ian Cathro's in Portugal. So Greece last night, 2-1.
Yep.
It was quite something, wasn't it?
Well, England were appalling.
There's no point. We might not go too well tomorrow. So it's not really about that. But in isolation,
I've never seen a man. Well, I was about to say I've never seen a man look so shell-shocked as Lee Carsley. However, last Sunday, when Ange Postecoglou 2 up at Brighton and lost 3-2, I have never seen Ange look that way. He was beside himself in his interview after the game.
It does make you wonder. You get the different types of frustration. We're frustrated here that we just don't feel like we've got the players. Mm-hmm. To make a success of being an international team right now, whereas if you're England, it's like they think they've got all these players but can't get the results. It shows you it can work in many different ways.
The balance of a team, it's everything.
Yeah, it was incredible. Right, the 21s face Belgium tonight. You got that as well, Craig. So you were up and running, doing okay, but unfortunately Hugh is out in front already. You then pull another one back though, because Per Mathias Hogmo, Norwegian. Hugh said finish, so it's 4-3 to Hugh Keevans. But then you ran out of time, Craig. Of course, the Proclaimers are Hibs fans.
Big time.
And for what it's worth, I don't think I'd be anywhere near this. 8 locally trained players in a Champions League squad. Would you know that?
That's a lot.
Aye, I don't know.
No chance. That's tough, I have to say. Anyway, who's your team, Craig?
Rangers.
What does the international break bring about? A welcomed break, or would you rather get back and try and keep a kind of winning run going? Or
see, I'm not really an international football player. Like, I'm from Ayrshire, Rangers. But yeah. The reason I was at that Scotland game is I was working at it. So
fair enough.
A wee bit of a break. But to be fair, like Rangers are hit and miss this season. I mean, we played a brilliant against like Malmo, best game of the season. And then I mean, look at Hibs. And then look at St Johnstone. You know what I mean? That was just terrible, to be fair. We got the 3 points, fair dues, but they need something, man. It's, I don't know. It's a bit grim, to be fair.
Do you feel that something is, you know, is reachable soon? It's possible? It's on the cards? Or do you have sort of wider concerns?
He needs to be given time, because see if he's not given, well, he's been given a bit of time, but see, he needs to be given this, and this project needs to work. See if this project doesn't work. Like, Celtic are miles ahead anyway, so it's just they're just going to get further and further away. So this project needs to work, because it's been missed. Rangers have been misrun for years. It's been a shambles. And this can hopefully work. But again, we don't know. Wait and see.
You mean Clement's got to work?
Aye, Clement has to work. Like this project he's doing needs to work.
Yeah. He's in balance right now, is he not?
They're bringing in the younger players and saying, right, you need to give them time. I know Rangers fans don't want to hear that. But because obviously it's Glasgow, you need to say it's all about wins. You need to win a draw, so I suppose you say a draw.
Ah, don't encourage him, Craig.
A draw is a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe. That's the Glasgow motto.
It's 100% it's true, man. But again, we'll wait and see. Time will tell if he gets the time that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange one, Scott. I think if you look domestically, we've been saying through the week that this is a good chance sometimes to look back on the start of the season. You've got a fair enough sample. It's not huge, but you've seen a fair bit of each team. Rangers' domestic results haven't been horrendous. They dropped points at Tynecastle, which can obviously happen. Yes, in reflection, it doesn't look as good because Hearts have not exactly been brilliant. But I thought they were all right that day. They lost to Celtic. So domestically, there's not loads there, but people couldn't quite get the stadium bit out their head at the start. That led into going out of the Champions League. There are issues upstairs in terms of who's the CEO, who's the chairman. And then the performance levels are probably not quite where Rangers fans want to be. So is it just this big picture? Because if it was just the domestic results, then they're not that bad. They're brilliant, but they're not horrendous.
No, I think obviously the manner in which Celtic defeated them was the biggest concern, I think, from Rangers fans. But in fairness to Philippe Clement, the Rangers side, they have responded really well to that. They've picked up the wins they've had to in the league. I don't think any of us thought Aberdeen would maybe hit the ground running the way they have. So I think October, in terms of Rangers and a lot of other teams in the league, is going to be huge. I think the Malmo game was a bonus within there that shows there is signs of a good side. But listen, there's been a lot of change in there. There's guys coming in, kind of finding their feet. So it's still early doors, but there is, since the Celtic game, some positives to be happy about.
What are the positives for you, Craig? What are you looking forward to seeing blossoming?
I don't know, just hopefully a team can get better when they play longer together and then get maybe a good wee run in Europe. I know Leon, I was on here talking about Leon, like obviously a lot of Rangers fans were talking about, oh, we should beat them and all that. I was like, you're mad. Like, Leon have got some squad, and to be fair, four, like, two could have been more, to be fair. But again, they've got some good home ties in Europe, you know what I mean? Big Angie's coming back, but anyway. But no, I don't know, we'll wait and see. Time will tell. Patience, we've got to have them, don't give them time.
Yeah, I mean, keeping an eye on, you know, with his Conor Barron, you know, can he now go and be a main man for the Scotland 21s tonight, and that keeps his kind of confident start to the season going, albeit there was the mistake against Leon. Do you think John Souter will play for Scotland? Is there a chance? Must be a greater chance now that there's no Jack Hendry, there's no Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, I think John Souter's been good this season.
You know, Craig says, you know, come on, give him time, give him a chance, but things come in blocks. Rangers will come out the international break, Kilmarnock away, Steaua Bucharest, Europa League, Ibrox, Aberdeen away, and then Motherwell in the semi-final of the Premier Sports Cup. Four games, Scott. Yep. You know, it's a block booking.
Yeah, it's going to be, out of curiosity, just on that theme, let's combine the two. What do you think Scotland's defence will look like tomorrow? Is John Souter in it now, or is he not?
Yeah, I would like to think so. I think for me, I like John Souter. He tries to play out from the back. He's brave. He steps in when there's space to step into with the ball, which maybe frees up your midfielder. So I do like John Souter. Will he go John Souter Portis? Don't really know. Or does Hanley kind of regain his spot there? I think Ralston will start right back, left back Andy Robertson.
Does like Grant Hanley generally, doesn't he?
Yeah, very much so.
Even though there was the whole penalty incident in the first game of the last doubleheader, but then kept him in for the second, which was actually actually quite a good performance in a way. And then it kind of fell apart a bit at the end, obviously. So
Steve Clarke's in that unfortunate position that managers find themselves in, where you can't do anything right in the eyes of some supporters, you know, because no matter what team he picks, somebody's going to say, what?
Yeah.
And you left out, and then, you know, and so it goes on. And then I said to Gordon the other night, Scott, that although he's had a full team worth of players missing because of injury, but that won't make the fans suspend their judgment of the manager. They'll just judge him on who's on the park tomorrow and what the score is.
Yeah, it's funny, it's become quite predictable, hasn't it? So if you put in guys that are like fringe players or whatever, people go, is this where we're at now? And I won't name a name, don't want to be unfair, but I mean, seriously, international football and that's it.
Yeah.
Or you play somebody who has been in the team for a while, it's just the same guys again. It's just the same faces.
Yeah.
You could almost set your watch by it. But anyway, thank you to Craig in Dumbarton. Wasn't enough to beat Hugh Keevans. There you go. You've rounded off the week with a win. You happy with that?
Well, I mean, top six is a miracle for me. And to go any higher, you know, I'll have altitude problems.
Form's pretty good.
Where am I sitting in that? I've not had a go.
You've only played three times, haven't you? Yeah, you've
managed 5 weeks to avoid for you.
Avoid the coin. 1-2, loss one for you. So 66% win rate. Hugh's obviously the only one who's he hovers round about his age for, for win percentage. So we'll see how he goes on in the coming weeks. Right, 01419511025. Good time to call. Again, up to you. Is it Scotland tomorrow? Scotland 21s tonight. There was Craig on talking about Rangers, just generally their start to the season. Same to you, Celtic fans. Hearts fans, where are you? We thought maybe a new manager today, and now it seems like that is not the case. Call us now, we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. You can give us a call on Twitter as well.
The things you find out about your partner.
I know, I was listening to you two at the break. What was that he was claiming that he's undefeated at naming capital cities of the world?
What's the capital of Zimbabwe? Harare, he said.
Is this a little known fact about you? You're some sort of capital city expert.
That was my niche, I would say.
Yeah, my grandson's like that. It's he absolutely loves that.
Does he?
Yeah, Ruben, on his way down from the Highlands tonight. I hope you're listening.
What was the one you just gave?
Zimbabwe. Harare is the capital of Zimbabwe.
Any others? What's your party tricks?
I don't have any, but it's just the competition, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you were to show off your capital knowledge, what would be like the other big guns that you would pull out?
Nah, because if I start saying this, then the questions start coming in. You ask me, I get under pressure, and then I don't get it, and then kills.
What's the capital of Bermuda?
Oh, that's tough, to be fair. He's not getting that. See, this is what he didn't want
My
to
mic's
happen.
Not working.
he didn't want to happen. Right, I've got a full-time teaser for you, okay?
Okay.
Now, I have to admit...
You think it's too hard? No,
I know it's too hard.
Oh.
I genuinely do know it's too hard.
But he's okay. I'm the hopeless one. He's okay.
No. Still. No. Let's do... Since 2018... Okay, I want you to name the Croatians that have played for Rangers or Celtic. We'll start there. Because the question I've got in front of me is 10 Croatians who've played in Scotland's top flight since 2018. And oh my goodness, some of the names on this are... Forget your capital city of whatever. This is proper knowledge.
Juranovic.
So let's start with the Celtic and Rangers ones. And we'll just branch out for a bit of fun. But there is no way you're naming some of the ones from the other clubs. So I won't do that to you. But let's see how we go.
Let
that be a challenge though to you listening. Because maybe you are a, whatever, Motherwell, St Mirren, Hibs, Dundee United fan. And you think, well, I remember we had a Croatian. You can throw that in. But I'd be amazed if you got them. So let's just go 1, 2, 3. There's just four. Since 2018, four Croatians have played for Celtic or Rangers.
Josip Juranovic.
Yes.
Barisic.
Yep. Okay. Let's see how we get on. And like I say, we'll do some of the others. But this is, honestly, some of the names on there. Ridiculous. Philip Cancar of Livingston, anyone?
Oh, no. I remember him,
I'm sure. Anyway. Right, 01419511025. Kenny is a Hearts fan. Kenny, we thought you were getting a manager today. Then it looks like that's not going to be the case. What's happening?
Well, evening, guys. I'm not really sure. You know, I think after this, the carry-on we've had for the last many years, with the Craig Levein not going on time, Robbie not going on time, Naismith stepping up, no European badges to manage the team in Europe and all that, I think we need to just settle down, take our time and get the right guy in the job.
But
you know, I believe one of his former clubs have nipped in whilst the deal was apparently done, but... you can't blame anybody for trying to get a better deal for their life and their family.
I know, but if the famous database and the analytics all arrived at Per Matthias Hogmo, is it not embarrassing for the club that they then can't close out the deal, Kenny?
Not really, Hugh. But it's, you know what I mean? it's like signing players. It can be you 1 minute some how many guys are flown to somewhere and landed, and then the deal's off. You know, it's not embarrassing.
The next guy then knows he's not. The next guy though knows he's the second choice.
Who was Celtic's first choice when Ange Postecoglou came?
First choice was Eddie Howe.
So it's not a problem to sometimes not get your first choice. That's just life.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But
what if it wasn't for Riley McGree going to Middlesbrough?
You wouldn't have Matt Riley.
So I think football needs to be bigger than that. By the looks of it, Simo Vallecari was St Johnstone's fourth choice, maybe. But it's just the way of the world. I see both sides of it, Scott. If you maybe thought Hearts would have had a manager at this stage of the international break. If you think you're going to get someone and it becomes slightly public, you want to get them. But then, as Kenny says, like, there's sometimes just moving parts and talks break down or whatever, and that's the way it is. Did you expect him to have a manager by this point in this break?
Yeah, I think we would have, obviously, because of the start to the season. I think you've got to agree with Kenny as well that most fans would rather take their time and find the right candidate now that the previous guy has not taken the job. And on top of that, for the performance last week was, although they didn't come out the win, there was signs that they were going in the right direction. So I think taking their time and picking the right guy, Hearts want to be in a position to do a lot better than they are just now.
I was reading the article, I think it was the Scottish Sun or something earlier, I'm sure it was, saying that the last job that Hogmo had was a 1 million salary.
Oh.
In Japan, I think.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you do if Hearts can't compete with that? Or, you know, I think it was set to be, well, I don't know what it would be. It would be well less than half.
Well, this might be with Tony Bloom's analytics company, and Hearts arrive at a problem they cannot solve, and that's the financial state of Scottish football. Because if he can say, right, I have isolated the man for you, I have located the man that you need, and he'll move you forward, and then you have to go and say to him, well, at his last known address, he was getting £20,000 a week.
To be fair, I'd imagine it is generally going to identify people that you can get. Otherwise, the database would just pop up Pep Guardiola and you're not getting him. It must be, I take it, this example, fine, but it's surely going to produce people that are in your bracket generally.
But it's not taking cognizance of the fact that in Japan you can earn a million a year,
I mean, there's bound to be slight outliers just based on kind of where you've been, but it's not like the list's just going to be all managers that Hearts can't afford. It's the same with when the database kicks into overdrive at Brighton for attracting players. It's players they can afford.
Second division Ecuador,
they don't go, right, I'm looking for a defensive midfielder, ping Rodri. You know, that's not how it works.
Caicedo, second division Ecuador.
Yeah, that's so this it's fallen down on this one. Callie Carlson, a Swedish manager, is now the next in line, according to the Scottish Sun. Kenny, is that? I'm not going to ask you if you've heard of him. I know you haven't, but it does sound like there are other options out there.
I've actually heard of him. He's my uncle.
Nonsense.
Listen, anybody that comes in and does a good job at Hearts or Damien, he's just fine. I've followed him since I was apparently 7 weeks old, and my mum carried me at my first game, and I turned 60 just a couple of months ago. So I'm just quite happy to see Hearts doing good. And as Scott said, me and my kids were up at Aberdeen last week, and Hearts were very, very unlucky, you know, come away with a win.
Yeah, actually, we're pretty good. Yeah, I suppose it's just the results not going.
Would you be disappointed, though, Kenny, if there wasn't a manager in place for the St Mirren game next weekend?
A wee bit, because we've had a few weeks now to do it. But whilst you've opened the door, you actually mentioned your grandson earlier, which we have a common denominator with that. Uh-huh. Any chance you could give a big shout out to Mrs. Fowler, who looks after my wee boy, who's now been diagnosed autistic as well.
Well,
she looks after him at school every day, and I know that her husband listens to the show every night.
Well, listen, I know only too well how important Mrs. Fowler is in these matters. So well done to you, Mrs. Fowler. More power to your elbow.
And Mr. Fowler, who seems to be out there as well. Thank you very much to Kenny for sharing his thoughts tonight. Yeah, that's the next name that seems to have come out. Callie Carlson, a Swedish manager. It's
Swedish national team.
Give us clubs.
Well, the previous club was, I read it earlier, let me find it again. I wish I could do it faster, I have to say. It wasn't a club that I recognised. Did you see that? Was it Neil Critchley? That's a more recognisable name. See, that was one of the names that was linked earlier on today. Blackpool. Is he currently at Blackpool? Neil Critchley, I think he was. Vasteras SK, apparently.
Nope.
Whoever they may be.
Well, Ange Postecoglou taught us all keep quiet on these matters, because it was Ange who, and you know, people couldn't pronounce Postecoglou correctly, and look what happened with him. Outstanding success here in Scotland. So I wouldn't dismiss anyone because you've not heard of them, but you have to be careful that number two doesn't come off either, and then you're on to number three, and then I have no idea how much the Swedish manager gets per annum, but that's going to be a factor for Hearts.
Yemi Tillin, of course, is a good example of that.
Now being looked at by Wolves, apparently.
Oh yeah, well, I did see the cynical response to that, is that, who are we playing next, say the Aberdeen fans. We're playing Celtic next. They're just trying to unsettle us. But yeah, I would have thought you'd be right behind the analytics, you know, with the old Brighton leanings that you've got.
Well, it's worked superbly well for Brighton. But as I say, for me, what happened today flags up that one thing that they maybe not take into account is the financial disparity between working in the J League and working in our league, where if you're outside of Celtic, you're struggling for money.
Analyse this. I've got a confession to make. Do you remember at the start of the season, there was a Brighton game on? I can't remember the opponent, but it went sort of viral because the camera panned to the crowd and there was the guy behind the dugout just with a full seagull.
Yeah.
Not even a mask, like a full seagull's head thing on. Well, it is a mask, but you know what I mean. Not see that? No,
I haven't seen that.
I then got onto the production staff in here and said, need to order Hugh Keevan's one of them. I want to see him on Monday night with the full seagull's head on. It's yet to arrive, but I'll see if we can. What is Halloween? Just round the corner.
That's true.
Try and track that down for you.
Well, my two grandkids last Sunday, 2-0 down, quiet. And then the goals started to go in at Brighton, and they're at the match. So it's text after text after text.
I bet they were excited to come full time.
Some game that I
just
watched.
Just to educate you, Scott, and Matthew actually tweeted in to say that Bermuda's capital is Hamilton.
That's it, yep.
So yeah, don't forget that in a hurry.
No, I knew that. My mic wasn't working.
And the reason, but he says the reason he knows is he went to Celtic. See, this, we can link everything into the football here. Matthew went to Celtic women's game against FC Twente the other night, which was in
Hamilton.
And he used a fan app. I know you won't know what that is, but he checked in at the game on some fan app, and the app thought he was in Hamilton, Bermuda, and now he'll never forget it, and now he's able to pass it on.
Listen,
to
tonight, just wonderful. While our own Simon Donnelly and Charlie McGrew are playing a very special match a week on Sunday. The late great Jerry Collins, you remember the wonderful player management as well. They're having a Jerry Collins Memorial Trophy match between St Rocks and Dukla, and Simon, our own Simon and Charlie McGrew are playing. That's at St Rocks next, a week on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff.
Get along, support a good cause. We've got some Friday night football, don't we? The Ackies against Morton. I'll just never be able to get out my head. Remember when they played in that famous 10-2 game?
Yeah.
Capello?
I actually thought it was at the Ackies, but that not so important. Maybe I don't remember it
Barry
that well.
Barry McKay was playing for Morton,
ridiculous,
sure,
wasn't it? Did Alex Neil got sent off, I think?
Oh.
Yeah, as player manager or something of the Ackies, but just 10-2, it just always kind of stood out as being
It was a bit lively in that direction, Alex Neil. You know, for someone who's had a terrific managerial career down south, I saw him getting sent off at Dumbarton one day, and it was,
shocker.
As headbutts go, it was a beauty.
Zidane-esque.
No, that's the game. No, that's it. That's the game I'm getting mixed up with, actually, I think, for some reason. I just had this memory of you being there when he got sent off, because it was the Ackies that won 10-2. So, I think I'm maybe getting them mixed up. But anyway, but nice. We've got a nice Friday night piece of excitement like that between the Ackies and Morton. Oh, you big Fife derby tomorrow, do you know, in the SPFL Trust Trophy?
Yeah, Dunfermline, East End.
Fancy a scalp? From the division above, Kelty?
Still a difficult game for us. obviously them being the full time team, they would be favourites, but we're obviously on a good run just now.
Let Mark Wilson be your inspiration tonight. Yep. He has shown tonight that anything is possible.
Oh, I've had the smiley face emoji and thumbs up reply. Ah. That's it. That's all we're getting. He's too big time for us now. He's forgotten about us. He's moved on. He's toppled Rangers at Peter's Hill in the Youth Cup. And on we go. Right, okay.
He'll be in the Hearts job in a couple of weeks.
Imagine just the analytics and it just pops up this unknown Thistle under-18s manager.
Yeah.
Formerly of Brechin. Once gave his Brechin tracksuit to a local charity shop.
Oh, wow.
Never hear that story?
No.
Yeah, someone found his... He got the sack at Brechin and someone found his tracksuit in British Heart Foundation, Great Western Road or something a couple of weeks later. So there we go. 01419511025. Good time to call. We will get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here on 0141 951 1025. The Ackies have just missed a big chance against Morton after some fairly comedic defending, it has to be said, and a fairly comedic miss as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Stays 0-0 in the Friday night football there in Hamilton. That's Hamilton, South Lanarkshire, not Bermuda, by the way, just in case you're getting confused. Right, your teaser tonight, and it's thanks to David and the Gorbals. David, I salute you because you're clearly a man of knowledge, far superior to that of Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. So I've had to butcher your question because his question is, since 2018, 10 Croatians have played in Scotland's top flight. Some of the names on here are unbelievable. However, having said that, we've got a guest in the studio. We've got young Josh who's sitting and watching the studio, trying to learn. I know, learn from you two. And he's come up with some of the left field ones that you could only dream of getting. So I narrowed it down and said, give me the four former Celtic or Rangers ones since 2018, and then we'll take it on from there. You've got Barisic and Juranovic. Oh no, no more of those four.
There's one in Rangers that played at the same time as Barisic at the same period.
Yeah. Just wasn't
obviously
there as long.
Yeah.
Wasn't there as long.
Do we get any sort of clue positionally?
Scored some goals. I bet his goal returned.
Colak.
There you go. See? Antonio Colak. Remember him, Hugh?
Yep.
Okay. The clue I'll give you for the one remaining Celtic or Rangers one, it is a former Celtic player. So you've got Juranovic. You've got Barisic and Colak. So you're looking for one more Croatian Celtic player since 2018. Okay, we've narrowed it down. I did say there are others in the league. I just think they're too hard. I'll give you Philippe Cancar of Livy. There is one currently at Dundee United and one currently at Aberdeen, if you think you could give them a go. I think they're quite hard. The Aberdeen one should be easier. What if he scored the winner?
Balasara.
Palaversa. I kind of knew what you meant.
Ante. His first name's Ante.
It is. He happens to be Croatian as well. Vico Sivelj at Dundee United. I mean, these are tough. So that's why I thought I would give you the Celtic and Rangers versions currently. There is a former Hibs man in there, you know.
Croatian?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2018?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had about 8 spells at Hibs in that period, so.
Yeah, striker.
There's every chance. I actually can't remember. Thought you'd maybe have crossed paths with him.
Croatia.
Since you've crossed paths with everyone.
90% of the SPFL, yep.
Exactly. You're trying to look at my sheet. I can see you.
No.
Channeling his inner Gordon DL there. That's unbelievable behaviour from you. Cannot believe what I'm witnessing here. Right, not a lot of football, clearly, over this weekend. The main focus on the international situation. We'll touch on the Championship if you want to do that before the end. Let's hear from Kenny McLean. These are his thoughts ahead of the Scotland game tomorrow.
It's always there. We don't just brush it under the carpet and say let's go again. We know that's never going to improve as we want to improve. We'll try and keep the environment as upbeat as possible. We know that we want to be getting results, but we want to keep improving, and that's what we'll do. I don't think anybody wants to be suffering at this level, but we are against good opposition, but we've got good players, we're a good squad, we're a good team. We need to, you know, believe in ourselves and believe in what we're doing, and we do. We'll go to Croatia with belief that we can get a result. If not, we'd be as well just staying back here, to be honest. So it's something that we're going to go over there. We'll prepare as well as we can, and we'll do everything we can.
How important, I know it might seem obvious or a bit cliche, but how important, Scott, do you think that sort of stuff is, that, you know, have, even just trying to find the belief somewhere, making sure the environment's right, you know, above it a lot when you go to international football, that must be part of the challenge. Because it feels like, so for us and as fans on the outside, we maybe assume that the players are all in there kind of feeling the same as everyone else, sort of moping around and think, oh, we've got loads of injuries and we're done for here and we can't turn the corner. And what did the first caller say? We hoped that they got beat. You know, the players are not going to be thinking like that. You'd like to think.
No, obviously, as a player, you know how difficult the opposition is you're playing. But I think when you're playing football, you know, if you get it right tactically, and everybody's on the game plan together. So I think with this Scotland team, if two or three are maybe off it, then you'll lose. But if you get everybody looking from the same hymn sheet, bringing out the tactical plan that Steve Clark's put in place and has shown over time, that's the thing. In the last 3 years, they have pulled some results out of the bag that we haven't expected. So I think that's the main thing in terms of which they'll be looking at in terms of trying to pull off a result tomorrow.
Players like Kenny McLean are put before the press and they have to talk up the squad and what's ahead. And what's ahead is Croatia away, Portugal at home. But Kenny, talking about we're a good squad, well, results tend to suggest that you're not good enough. It's just a fact of life. 14 games, the one win was against Gibraltar. And by the look of the squad tomorrow, they're bang up against it. I just think that, maybe I'm clutching at straws, but I just think that there could be enough determination and ability, even though we are severely depleted, to get a draw. I don't see us winning the match, but I could feel a draw being possible.
There's a lot to go for you in these type of fixtures. Mm-hmm. Like I said, everybody on the game plan, and the wee bits of luck in the game, ball falling to you in the right places and defending well.
Because to be fair, like, you can't make, you're never going to find enough excuses to cover a 14 game streak. That's the whole point. That's why that speaks for itself. But if you go to that last double header,
it's positive.
Trying to get little things right, you can't give two penalties away, you know, or in the manner that they come around. And we spoke, you know, for all Steve Clark gets the criticism, you can't really do much about that. You know, you play pretty well in the game and show good character to fight back. You give away two, and one in particular, ludicrous penalties. Yeah, you probably just need, like I say, you can't put everything in a 14 game streak down to like bad luck or moments, but it would be nice if one or two would go that way.
Yeah, some would go our way. I think what we can all agree on is the performances were a lot better than what we've seen in Germany.
Yeah.
And that's a start.
Yeah, they were for sure. What about the championship tomorrow then, Hugh? You're waiting on the ticket coming through the post. In fact, you're waiting to check the weather.
Yeah.
Partick against Falkirk. It's a massive game for the Jags, isn't it?
It is, but I see them as the underdogs, the second favourites tomorrow, because they've been on a very poor run. They're closer to the bottom of the league than they are to the top. The goals have run out on them. They would need Brian Graham to have a very good day tomorrow. I just feel that Falkirk, although the 0-0 draw with Livingston was a minor setback for them, it still took them to the top of the league. And I feel that Falkirk are the side who have everything going for them at the moment, and for me, will win the match.
We have said it a lot, but it's worth repeating just the job John McGlynn's doing. By their own high standards, the wins have dried up slightly because they drew against Livy, and then of course
it's not a bad point though, Gordon.
That's the thing. And Livy are undefeated. They've beat Ayr, but before that, the unbeaten run went against Raith Rovers. But to be looking as good as they are, top of the table, having been promoted from League One, having kept largely the same squad together, doing it the so-called right way, and we go around in circles in that debate and whatever that means and so on.
Attractive football.
But John McGlynn properly sticking to those principles and showing that it can be done. You don't need to abandon it because you go up a division.
No, of course not. I think any manager who wants to succeed and go through the leagues winning trophies, that is the thing, sticking to your principles, especially if it's worked, and they have showed that over the last two seasons. I think if they were to win tomorrow, I think they play next Friday, that could give them a decent cushion going into next Saturday's fixtures.
I keep thinking back to the last game in Glasgow, Celtic Park, and they gave Celtic an almighty fright. Brendan Rodgers paid John McGlynn the highest compliment he could because he thought, we're going out of here. So he looked behind him and he got the big guns on, the cavalry. And to be fair to Nicholas Kuhn, 2 goals, 2 assists, man of the match award on the pitch for half an hour, he epitomised the gulf that can exist between players in the higher division and the one beneath. But for over an hour, he had Brendan Rodgers and Celtic really going, John McGlynn. So what a story it would be, promotions back to back. It would be a sensational story.
Okay, I think that's almost us. And I forgot, we've actually David Ngorbals has actually missed a fairly obvious one on your teaser, just when I was looking at your list there. So
I think I've got one.
It's five Croatians have played for Celtic or Rangers in Scotland's top flight since 2018. Borna Barisic, Josip Juranovic, Antonio Čolak,
Benkovic.
Yes, that's the harder one, I would say.
And he played alongside,
it's another Celtic one,
centre back.
Mm-hmm.
The one that two-footed Kenny Miller put him up there. Is that, am I right? Oh, come on, Hugh. Begins with an S.
Yes. I think this is an easier one as well. It's easier than Benkovic.
Storovic.
No. Come on, you two.
Second letter.
No, I'm not spelling it out. That's just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. You're right. He sent Kenny Miller into orbit. He got sent off against Rangers, did he not, for an elbow? Was that not the Douglas Ross?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Red card, red card. For us, yeah.
I pulled it out of the bag unless you can give me his
name.
Pulled
Benkovic out.
Come on. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like that silence at all.
Sarah.
You too. Jozo Simunovic.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what else to do. I couldn't just spell it out. That was just ludicrous, I have to say. A lot of international games going on. Scotland 21s tonight. Hopefully they can get something playing Belgium. A win would see them qualify.
Simunovic.
So looking forward to seeing what they can do there. Friday night football on as well. I should have given you an update. It was half time. It's half time 0-0 for the under 21s. So nothing really doing. They are growing into the game as it goes on, by all accounts. And I think we will leave it there at the rarest of Saturday afternoons off for you, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to Fir Hill, you said, perhaps, if the weather's good.
Grandkids on the way down from the Highlands, they may have other ideas.
Rangers women against Glasgow City at Ibrox for me tomorrow, I have to say. So maybe some of you will be along there. Is that a penalty given for Morton in that game in Hamilton? Whatever happens over the weekend, if there's anything to take note of, and I'm sure there will be in the Croatia-Scotland game tomorrow, we will look back on it all. 6 o'clock Monday night. Make sure you see us and you can enjoy the rest of your weekend, starting with the company of Mr. Friday Night. It's GBX up next.